I need to get there. Let's pray. Lord, we would like to know where we fit. We want to know exactly how we can serve you. As we sang, what can we do for you? You've done so much for us. You've blessed us so much. And we know that you want to use us. And so, Lord, I ask that you would instruct us, that you would help us all to recognize the gifts that you've given us, the place that you have for us in service. And Lord, I ask that you would just bless our time in your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Speaking in tongues. I already see some looks. Speaking in tongues is a very controversial subject in the Christian church. In fact, you might even say it could be the most controversial subject in the Christian church. In fact, I think that speaking in tongues is sort of what makes the whole topic of spiritual gifts controversial. Most people can handle all of the gifts on the list, but for some reason, speaking in tongues, just people are sensitive about it. Well, tonight we're going to look at it. And I realize that many of us here tonight have heard of the gift, and there might even be some of you that have already come to your basic conclusion about what you think the gift is. All I want to ask you to do tonight is just have an open mind. Let's just honestly look and see what Scripture teaches about speaking in tongues. Unfortunately, it is a topic that is emotional. And I have found that it is a topic that Christians often use to beat other Christians over the head with. And I know it can be very emotional. And I know I've seen even ugly things happen. I've seen divisive sort of things happen when you speak of this gift. But let's hope that that won't happen as we speak, okay? There can be some damaging things that take place. There can be some harmful things as Christians interact over this subject. There are some Christians in one extreme that believe the gift of tongues is not valid for today. And they teach that the gift of tongues that you might see happening in the church today is not the biblical gift of tongues. They believe that it's deception or a bunch of gobbledygook. A lot of them teach that that is signs and wonders, lying signs and wonders. And there are even some that teach that it's satanic. Now, I want you to think, suppose there's a brand new born again Christian, genuine, honest, wonderful believer who claims to speak in tongues. They have the gift. They speak in it. Now, imagine if somebody from that other extreme comes and tells them it's satanic. What happens to those two people? Crash. Conflict. Not good. Then there's the other extreme where many Christians believe that every Christian should speak in tongues. And they teach that the gift of speaking in tongues is the primary evidence of a person being spirit-filled, baptized by the Holy Spirit. And so if you don't speak in tongues, this group would say that you're not spirit-filled, and they would make you feel like a lower grade sort of Christian. Now, again, imagine a brand new or even an older born again, genuine Christian who doesn't speak in tongues, maybe hasn't even thought about it that much. And they run into somebody from the other extreme that says, you're not spirit filled. You're not as supernatural. You're not as blessed. What happens? Crash. Conflict. Not good. And by the way, that's one that really annoys me. That is definitely one of my spiritual pet peeves, when some Christian makes another Christian feel like they're less spiritual or less blessed. That bugs me. And I don't like it when any Christian does that on any topic, including tongues. Surely there's a balance, don't you think? And you know, gang, I believe that the Bible's teaching on speaking in tongues is absolutely balanced. And actually pretty easy to understand. The problem is that many Christians are ignorant on the subject. Let's see if we can find out about this gift. Beginning in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." Let's just get a really good definition for what the gift of speaking in tongues is. Paul says there's different kinds of tongues and there's the interpretation of tongues. That word tongues is the Greek word glossa. In Scripture, it sometimes refers to the organ of speech, our physical tongues. That's not the meaning here. We all have similar tongues, not different kinds of tongues. It can also refer to in Scripture as simply languages. And that's what it's referred to here. Speaking in tongues is speaking in languages. The gift of tongues is simply the gift of languages. Speaking in a language. Now, what makes it supernatural is the gift of speaking in tongues is when the Holy Spirit supernaturally enables a person to speak in a language they've never learned or studied. It is a supernatural thing. I took Spanish for 3 years in high school, and I made straight A's, and I don't speak Spanish. I've proved that you can make A's and not learn the material. Tonight, if I were to start speaking to you fluently in Spanish right now, you would be witnessing the gift of speaking in tongues. It would be a supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't know it. The Spirit speaks it through me. That's what this gift is. Now, I want you to see something. Notice in verse 10, it says, to another, different kinds of tongues. Different kinds. Diverse. Many different languages. Skip down to verse 28. God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Do you see the language that's used with it? It's diverse. There's a diversity of language. There's a variety of languages. And I think, without a doubt, that could refer to any known language that people speak on planet Earth. There's a lot of different languages that are spoken on planet Earth by different people groups, different nations. Think of them all. French, German, Navajo, Greek, Hebrew, all the different languages. Certainly the Holy Spirit can gift a person to speak in any one of those languages at any time, whether or not they know it or not. But I think the language also forces us to include another possibility, and that is it can include a language that is completely unknown on planet Earth. It could be a language that is spiritual. It could be a language that's heavenly. I'm convinced that it does include a language like that. And maybe you're sitting here and you've never thought about it. Well, you got to at least say to yourself, that is a possibility. Look at verse 1 of chapter 13, still in 1 Corinthians. Notice what Paul says there. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. It seems to me there that Paul is speaking about the tongues of men, language known by men, referring to any language that is known by a people group speaking anywhere on planet Earth. But then it also seems to me that he's speaking of the tongues of angels. Question. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. What language do angels use in heaven when they talk to one another? What language is used in heaven? When you and I get to heaven, what type of language are we going to speak? Some of you say Spanish. Absolutely. Will it be English? Will it be Greek? The New Testament was written in Greek. How about Hebrew? The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. What will be the language of heaven? We don't know, but it is my best guess that heaven will have its own language. Its own way where people communicate, a spiritual, heavenly type of language. Now, if that is the case, then it could be very possible that the Holy Spirit might occasionally gift one of his people to speak in that language. Look at verse 1 of chapter 14. Paul says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. That passage, I think, clearly shows to me that there is a spiritual type of language, perhaps a heavenly language, a language that the Spirit speaks, it's in a mystery, and a person speaks directly to God with it. And so I personally believe that the gift of speaking in tongues is when a Christian is able to fluently speak in an unknown language through the agency of the Holy Spirit, be it a known language by people or a spiritual language known only in heaven. That is what the biblical gift of speaking in tongues is. And I'll just let you know right out front, I do believe it exists. I do believe it is valid for today. And listen, I say that to you as a person who does not have the gift. I have never spoken in tongues. I do not have the gift of speaking in tongues. I've prayed for the gift. I've sought the Lord for the gift. And I'll share a little more about that with you later on in the Bible study. But I still believe that the gift exists and it's valid. And listen, there's two primary reasons why I say that. Number one is by experience. And you say, wait a minute, Terry, experience. Bad word. Actually, experience can be a good word when you apply it to all the gifts. We do apply it to every one of the gifts. The Bible teaches in the gift of teaching. It's biblical.
by experience who has it. And if somebody has the gift of teaching, how do you know it? Well, there's an experience. Somebody gets taught. If somebody is given a gift of healing, how do you know if it's truly a gift of healing? Experience. Somebody got healed. I would say the same thing when it comes to speaking in tongues. I know wonderful, genuine, sincere believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who speak in tongues. And who am I to deny their experience? By the way, just so you know, my wife speaks in tongues. And she is extremely private about it. We've been married for 10 years. I've heard her twice. And it's kind of an interesting thing how God puts people together. I've told you before in talking about Kim, she seems to have a lot of these charismatic, experiential, sorts of gifts. And then I'm more, man, logic, teaching, that kind of stuff. And it's really neat how God has put us two together, and it's kind of a nice blend. But she has the gift. Who am I to deny her experience? So I say that by experience, and I also say it because I do believe it's taught in the Bible. You just read it. And I think it's very clear that the early church spoke in tongues. I want to give you some examples. Turn to Acts chapter 2. When it all began, I think I said that right. When the church began at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Before we look at this example, it does need to be said that Jesus never spoke in tongues. The record is extremely clear. Jesus never spoke in tongues. But actually, if you think about it, would we have been really impressed if he did speak in tongues? The supernatural gift of speaking in tongues is speaking in a language that you don't know. What language does Jesus not know? Including heavenly language. Jesus did not speak in tongues, but he predicted that his people would. In Mark 16, he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Jesus predicted it. And in the early church, in the book of Acts, you see Christians speaking in tongues. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. we hear them speaking in our own tongues, the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others, mocking, said, they are full of new wine. That is a miraculous gift. It happened at the birth of the church. All 120 disciples who had gathered in the upper room were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began speaking in tongues. And it would seem that most, if not all of them, at that time, were speaking in tongues known by other foreigners, a foreign language, as there were many foreigners there, and they heard the disciples speaking in their tongues, and that's what was so amazing. Though it is possible that maybe some of the disciples were speaking in a spiritual tongue, it is possible. Verse 13 says, others mocking said, they are full of new wine. Some of them heard the apostles and said, ooh, babble, babble, bunch of gibberish. They must be drunk. Whatever the case, they spoke in tongues. And I want to point out in verse 11 that they heard them speaking in tongues, the wonderful works of God. When someone is speaking in tongues, remember, as we read in 1 Corinthians 14, they're speaking to God. And it seems to be that when a person is speaking in tongues in the scripture, it's worship. It's praise. It's ascribing worth to God. It's praising him for his wonderful works. Look at Acts chapter 10 for another example. Verse 34, we looked at this passage for Easter Sunday. Peter is going to the house of Cornelius to preach the gospel. Gentiles are about to get saved. It says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And Peter, as you know, gives them a message there, Cornelius and his family and relatives that have gathered. Skip down to verse 43. At the end of his message, he says, to him, Jesus, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Now watch what happens, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Another example, brand new converts, the Holy Spirit comes upon them, they speak in tongues, it could have been foreign or spiritual, we're not told. But notice again that they magnify God with it. It's God directed. It's worship. It's praise. Acts 19. Paul shows up at Ephesus, and notice what he runs into. In verse 1. It happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. The men were about 12 in all. Now, that's an interesting case, isn't it? Paul comes against, not against, but across some Christians. These guys were Christians. They were disciples. They had become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ.
But they hadn't been instructed about the Holy Spirit. They didn't even hear that there was a Holy Spirit. And they didn't understand certain things. And Paul made them aware. And he ends up laying his hands on them and praying. They receive the Holy Spirit. And they begin speaking in tongues. Again, it may have been known languages or a completely unknown language. We're not sure. But another example. One more quick example. Turn back to Acts chapter 8. Philip in Samaria is preaching the word. There's a great revival. Many people are getting saved, a big number of Christians. And they invite Peter to come down and check on things. So Peter and John show up. And in verse 14, it says, "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon the sorcerer saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Hey, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit.'" Now, I brought you there because there is an example when somebody is filled with the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't say exactly that they began speaking in tongues, does it? There's no mention of speaking in tongues there. Now, we know something must have happened to show that they had been baptized, because Simon the sorcerer says, "Ooh, that's a great trick. Can I buy it?" But we don't know for sure. Now, I take you to all those examples just so you see that the gift of tongues was in operation in the early church. I wanted to point out to you that when they spoke in tongues, it was God-directed. And I also wanted you to see that the way people received the gift of tongues was different. Did you see how different it was in all those cases? It was diverse. It wasn't a formula that could be followed. There were times when an apostle or the elder or whatever laid hands on a person, prayed for a person, and they began speaking in tongues. There were times, as we just read, where they laid hands on somebody, they received the Holy Spirit, but we're not told if they spoke in tongues. In Acts chapter 10, they're having a service, Peter's preaching, and the sermon is interrupted as the Holy Spirit just falls upon the people, and they begin speaking in tongues. There's no laying on of hands or anything like that. In Acts chapter 2, it's a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. They receive the gift of tongues. The Holy Spirit comes upon them. I say that because there is no formula to it. It is a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. Don't let anybody tell you that if you follow these three steps, you'll speak in tongues. If you'll pray, close your eyes, jump up and down three times and turn around, wham, you'll speak in tongues. No. There is no formula like that to follow. It is a supernatural, sovereign act of the Holy Spirit. You see the example in the book of Acts, and you also see that the gift of tongues was being practiced in the Corinthian church, and Paul lists that tongue as a gift twice. So I believe it's in operation because of the experience, and I believe it's in operation because you see it in Scripture. Now let's go find a few more things out about it. Back to 1 Corinthians. I told you you'd need your Bible tonight, right? Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Watch this.
Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Those are rhetorical questions, and what's the answer? No. Every Christian does not have to speak in tongues to be spiritual. Do you hear me? Not all Christians are required to speak in tongues. Paul asked the question, do all speak in tongues? And the obvious answer is no. Not every Christian is to speak in tongues any more than not every Christian is supposed to be an apostle or a prophet. Or someone who gets healed. That is extremely clear. The gift of tongues is a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit chooses whom he wants to give that to. It doesn't make that Christian any more special than anyone else. I told you I was going to share with you a little more about my experience. This is an issue, folks, that I have really struggled with in my Christian life. There have been times where I have asked the Lord, please give me the gift of tongues. And he hasn't. And I've sought him for it, and I'm open for it. 15 years ago, when I was in, really just coming back to the Lord, I had a time of rebellion. And in college, I came back to the Lord, and you wouldn't believe all these college students that got on fire, and we started serving the Lord. And I began a Bible study for college students in an apartment complex. And we started off with like 15, and within 6 months, we had 100 kids. And we even had some 85-year-old couples start to show up that lived around by the complex. And we had all these exciting, wonderful things taking place. It was just an amazing thing. And all of a sudden, there was a group of my friends that began speaking in tongues. And they'd say, Terry, it's really cool. Come try it. We're speaking in tongues. You should speak in tongues. And I thought, Lord, yeah, that'd be neat. I'd like that gift. Lord, give me that gift. And I would pray and stay real quiet and just wait. And I didn't get the gift, and I guarantee you I'm not going to fake it. It's a gift or it's not a gift. It's supernatural or it's not. So nobody's going to teach me how to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit will give me the gift. But I remember feeling down, and a few of my friends started saying, Terry, you know, you just don't have enough faith. And this is where it gets damaging. This is where it gets really hard. And this is where ignorance creates lots of problems in the body of Christ. And so they would try to tell me, and they'd say, Terry, it's really, you got to speak in tongues, wait upon the Holy Spirit. You'll feel like honey is coming out of your mouth as you speak in tongues. And I thought about it, prayed about it, spoke to them, and finally nothing happened. I left that dorm room. I'll never forget. I left, and I was on my way to my car, and I was down. I was down. It was a trial. When I got to my car out in the parking lot, there was a note that had been left on the windshield. A dear sister in Christ had no idea what I was going through or experiencing. She had happened to have been at one of my Bible studies a couple weeks earlier, and she started coming, and she just happened to notice my car there, and she quick jotted out on a piece of paper, and I'll never forget, it said this, Terry, enjoy being at your Bible study.
You're a great teacher. When you teach, it's almost like honey coming out of your lips. I said, Lord, I get it. I'm a teacher in the body of Christ, not a tongue speaker. And that's great. And that's okay. Not to say that you should be afraid of that gift, not desire it. I would still go to the Lord, and I still believe maybe one day when the timing's right, He'll give me that gift. But it's not a big deal to me. I don't lose sleep over it. I don't feel any less spiritual. Are all the prophets, are all teachers, do all speak in tongues? No. That is the biblical answer for speaking in tongues. There's no other way around that. Look at something else. Again in chapter 14. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. He who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Folks, that passage makes it very clear to me that the gift of speaking in tongues is to be done primarily in private. It is a gift that is primarily to be exercised in the prayer closet. It is a gift that is primarily exercised in the private devotional life of a believer. It says there that that gift is for the edification primarily of who? The believer. I believe that it is a gift that can really build a person up spiritually. I think it's a gift that can really perhaps revolutionize somebody's prayer life, their devotional life, their quiet time, their private time with the Lord. If you're like me, there have been many times where I've been before the Lord in prayer and English just doesn't have all the words I want to express what I'm feeling to the Lord. And I know at times like that, I'll just be quiet before the Lord because I know it says in Romans 8 that the Spirit Himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. But it could be that for some Christians, the Lord has gifted them to, at times like that, speak in tongues. And it's something that they need. It's something that helps them. That's why I said Kim is so private about it. Other people that I know of in this fellowship that speak in tongues are extremely private about it. And that's what I teach. And I think that's the biblical balance. I've had people come up to me. Why don't people speak in tongues in Calvary Chapel? I say they do in private. I want you just to consider it. I know it might be a radical thought for some of you. For others, it's not. But maybe that would be an awesome boost to your private time with the Lord. To your spiritual time with the Lord. To your devotional, your prayer time. And I would encourage you, don't be afraid. Ask. If you have that gift, great, awesome. If you get it. That doesn't make you super saint. If you don't, no big deal. God hasn't chosen to give it to you. Is there any place for speaking in tongues in public? in a public venue like a church service? Yes, there is. However, it is very restricted and highly regulated by 1 Corinthians chapter 14, which we'll get into in a lot more detail in coming weeks. But just so you know, 1 Corinthians 14 does say that if a tongue is spoken in a church service, in a public setting, it must be accompanied by an interpretation. The gift of tongues can be an edification of the church, but only when there's an interpretation, because if somebody speaks in a tongue, most of us don't know what that is. We're. But if there's interpretation, then it becomes a teaching, a word from the Lord. Every tongue spoken in the public assembly must have an interpretation. And by the way, that's the other gift that we looked at in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 12. The interpretation of tongues. You know what that is? That's the supernatural ability given to a Christian by the Holy Spirit to understand a language that's being spoken that they don't know. And then to convey the message in the local language. That's supernatural, isn't it? So if someone were to stand up here tonight and speak in French, and I just get understanding, I know what they're saying, and I convey that to you in a message, that would be the gift of the interpretation of tongues. Same deal, if somebody would speak perhaps in that heavenly language, a spiritual language, then another person would have to interpret that, and it would be a supernatural, amazing sort of thing. So there is a place for it in a public setting, but it's very limited and it's highly regulated. Very quickly, look at verse 27 of chapter 14. This will blow some people away. This is in a public service. And Paul says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three. Each in turn, and let one interpret. How many people are allowed to stand up and speak in tongues in a public gathering? Two at the most three. It also says, let each one speak in turn. That is, one at a time. I don't know if you've ever been to a service, I have, where they get up and maybe the pastor says, okay, everybody, go. And everybody begins singing in tongues, speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, and you just, wow, you look around, it's light, it's fireworks, you know. What's going on in that type of environment? Listen, they may be speaking in tongues, but they are out of order according to the Bible. It might be a genuine gift of speaking in tongues, but they're behaving just like the Corinthian church, which Paul wrote this letter to tell them how to do it right. It's restricted, folks. Listen, church services aren't free for alls. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 also tells us that it's to be done in decency and in order. There is not to be any interruption. I've been to services where the preacher's preaching and somebody stands up and gives their tongue. That's out of order. That's not decent. I've heard some Christians say, well, when I speak in tongues, man, I can't help it. I just can't help it. I have to speak. I lose control of my body and I just begin speaking. And I've told you stories about, I've heard Christians say they go order a Whopper at Burger King and they're in line and they begin speaking in tongues right there out of control. And the employees run out into the street, freaked out. That's not right. You'll see that in 1 Corinthians 14, it says the spirit of the prophet is under the control of the prophet. The one who speaks in tongues is under control. He can turn it on. He can turn it off. And Paul says, in fact, if there's no interpretation, you just sit there and be silent. That's where it's at. And you know, guys, I think it's a balanced. I think the Bible is perfectly clear on it. I think it's balanced. I think Calvary Chapel, and that's one of the things I love about Calvary Chapel, it just is right down the middle. We get people upset at us from the charismatic side. There's not enough tongue speaking over here. And then we get trouble from people that are on this other side where they say, you're too radical. That's kind of cool to be in a spot like that. The gift exists. It's a private thing primarily. It can be used in a public setting, but under very, very close scrutiny, it must be operated according to the biblical guidelines. Can we use it in our church? You know what? It can. I just want you to know that many Calvary chapels, oftentimes what they'll do is they'll have what they call afterglows. And this is where believers get together maybe after a service, or it can take place at a kinship or something. But it's a group where it's a special kind of meeting where the believers get together and they'll wait upon the Holy Spirit. They'll do worship. They'll do prayer. And they give folks that opportunity to move in the gifts in that way. We have done things like that in the past, very minimal. And we'll just have to see where the Lord leads us on that. I'm praying about it. I'm thinking through it. I think it's important that we study and understand what we're doing. I would also say that in a public setting, you see the gift of speaking in tongues will most often happen, and again, with all the sign gifts like we've talked about, in an evangelistic setting where the gospel is being brought to a brand new people group who have never heard about Jesus. In Acts, that seems to happen, right? They speak in tongues when the church is born. They speak in tongues when the Gentiles become Christians. They speak in tongues in Ephesus. It's kind of a new group there. In Samaria, they're baptized with the Holy Spirit and something. I think that that can happen more publicly in a more public venue when you're bringing the gospel to another people group, brand new. Again, I refer you to stories from Gospel for Asia. Where an evangelistic type outreach is like that, they've seen more healings, they've seen more miracles, they've seen more of the supernatural. Also even speaking in languages that they don't know, but those village groups know. Possible. How's everyone doing? Challenging? A lot to chew on? Let me tell you. God does not want to hurt you. Do you understand me? The Holy Spirit would never want to hurt any one of us. The Lord loves us so much, and He knows exactly what we need and where we fit in the body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit has given these gifts. He's dished them out as He wants under His sovereign control, and there's a purpose for you. You'll use these gifts as you serve the Lord and as you serve His people. A gift like speaking in tongues will edify you. It's something that the Lord gives you. You need it. And again, I say it might be a pickup for some of you here tonight even. Don't be afraid of the Lord. Go to the Lord. Ask Him for these things. But let Him give you exactly what He wants to give you, okay? And be content.
and learn to operate in what you know that you're gifted in. And not worry about what you're not gifted in. Amen?
So, the filling of the Holy Spirit does not mean that you will speak in tongues. In fact, you know what happens when you're filled by the Holy Spirit, according to Scripture? You're filled with love. You will love your brothers and sisters in Christ. By this, Jesus said, all men will know that you are my disciples, that you speak in tongues. Did he say that? By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. The filling of the Holy Spirit produces the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love and character. And also, Acts 1:8 says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. When the Holy Spirit empowers you and comes upon you, he's making you a more effective witness for his kingdom. That's what you should look for. That's what you should see. Let's commit all this to prayer. And I'd like to do as we've done in the past. You guys all have a few moments of quiet time with your Lord. Just seek the Lord. Ask him to reveal to you what your gift might be. Spend some time with him.